Welcome to Good Dogs. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Carol Borden, who founded and runs Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs, where they breed, raise, and train and place these companion working dogs with people who need them, and all for no cost. We both believe that all dogs can be good dogs, but that dog training starts with people training. And the better you understand your dog, the better you can communicate with them and make them the best canine citizens they can be. This is not specifically a training show. It's also understanding dogs from the outside in, how to read their body language and what they're telling you, and from the inside out, to know that each dog's an individual and needs to be seen as such and lived with alongside us with joy and compassion. I'm so pleased to have a chance to talk to Stephanie Russo in Dublin. She's written a book I just think the world of. It's called How to Raise a Puppy, a Dog-Centric Approach. What I love about the book is it really isn't just only about puppies. It's really how to have a dog-centric approach to your dogs. Steph, thanks so much for writing this book. It's so full of loving compassion. You co-wrote it with a woman who's very famous in the dog training world, Turid Rugas, that many people haven't heard of, but she's sort of a legend. So in my mind, the fact that she chose you to co-write this book with her is pretty high praise, isn't it?
Thanks, Tracy. Yeah, well, I have to say, I asked her to do it, but she did agree. So.
Well, no, of course, she wasn't setting out to write a book and thought, who of all the dog trainers on the planet shall I pick? But she did choose, I mean, she hasn't had her name on another book that I know of, not for the lay public, you know, probably just for... In the business, so to speak, the serious business of how to understand dogs and how to train them. I would like to talk about one of the chapters in your book, How to Raise a Puppy, which, as I say, is really not only about puppies at all, although super helpful if you're starting out with a little one, is the topic of co-sleeping, because I've never heard of another dog trainer who suggests that a way to help a puppy through those early weeks or even a newly adopted shelter dog through those early weeks is to invite them into your bed. Can you talk about where that theory came from and what you back it up with? Because you're also very science-based and very knowledgeable about the whole history of training any animal, dogs just being one of them. So I loved the idea, and it's very counter to what others say, which is, you know, keep that dog in a crate, let it cry its heart out. So let's talk about co-sleeping and how that came to you.
Sure. Well, I suppose the one thing that I have found in my years of training dogs, that at least 90% of any sleep problems that people are having with their dog or puppy can be solved by having the dog in the bed. Because, of course, as social creatures, what they're really craving is that physical contact. So a lot of people who have problems either with puppies or with adult dogs who aren't sort of sleeping through the night, who are maybe getting them up to go to the toilet or crying or being disturbed, most of those things can be solved by just letting the dog have what he needs, what he's evolved to have, which is that physical contact.
Are there some breeds of dogs that are less interested in the physical contact? I've found, even within Weimaraners, which is a breed I've now had for many iterations, that some of them like to sleep touching each other when they're sleeping. I never knew to invite them into my bed, to be honest. I mean, I didn't disinvite them, but they didn't really invite themselves in. I didn't kick them out. And others do not want to co-sleep and touch each other, which is different than co-sleeping with us and touching us. Do you think it's very much an individual? Is it somewhat breed specific?
I think it's probably quite individual. There was a study done, I think it was in 2020 or 2019, Rachel Kinsman, I think it was, and she did a study looking at dog sleep behaviours and found that 86% of dogs chose to sleep in the proximity of their owners. Now, not necessarily in the bed, but it shows that sort of across breeds there is that drive to be close. And I suppose sometimes the hairier breeds, the bigger breeds, they can get quite warm if they're on top of us.
Right.
So they'll often choose to move away. That's been my experience. And sort of anecdotally, people will tell me, oh, the dog starts the bed or the night on the bed. But then he gets too warm and he goes to find his own bed. Whereas sort of the smaller dogs I had greyhounds for years and they notoriously love their comfort and warmth. And we had one foster lurcher who would get right under the duvet. They obviously like to be warm, and they don't have the same amount of sort of hair and body fat that other breeds have. So there probably is a breed element in that way that I suppose that close proximity is less desirable if you're very warm. But puppies generally are smaller and they don't thermoregulate as well. And of course, up until the point where they are taken from their mums and siblings, they're sleeping on top of each other. They're sleeping on top of their mum
or in a puppy pile. Absolutely. Exactly. Well, you know, I would never not have a dog in my bedroom, that's for sure. I just think the idea of co-sleeping in the bed is just such a novel idea. And you have a new baby, and I know that there are changing ideas about the parental bed, the family bed, but I knew someone years ago who always held their baby on their chest until the baby fell asleep and then had the baby in bed with them. And I, you know, there's this terrible American puritanical thing. Oh, everyone should develop to be independent, even if they're a month old. You just have to learn to put yourself to sleep. You have to learn to be comfortable on your own. It's so harsh and so just, you know, just cruel almost. And it never occurred to me with a puppy how divine that would be to have that little butterball in bed with you, and how nice for the puppy, and it'd be just like the puppy pile. I would get puppies and I'd get a blanket that I'd rubbed all over their siblings and their mothers before the puppy came home, and a stuffed animal and a heating pad sort of in there somehow. It never occurred to me to just take them in bed with me. Did you?
Exactly. And that's what you're trying to recreate.
Yes, exactly.
I was thinking this today because a client was asking me about their puppy not sleeping and what could they do. And I was thinking all these things that people do to simulate having another living being beside the puppy, the clock.
Oh, yeah, the ticking clock.
Heartbeat.
Yeah, that's supposed to make the puppy think that's a heartbeat. He's not stupid, okay? It's a weird thing making a harsh little noise. So did you have a light bulb moment yourself where one day some little creature got into your bed and never left kind of thing?
No, I didn't. And I couldn't even say that it was my thought. It might have been something I learned from Turid when I was doing her course or from one of the other courses that I did. But I feel like from very early on, I learned that dogs were social sleepers. Dogs of all ages were social sleepers. And when we got our first rescue dog, who was a greyhound, he was six. But from the first day, he wanted to be in the room, even though he'd never been around
in a house
before.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? When you think of greyhounds and the misery of lives they have when they're on the track, and if they survive it, and people like you are so good to adopt them, why would they even think it was possible to sleep with a human when they've been caged in cement or
with
wires?
With other dogs all of their lives.
Yeah.
But that's where he landed. He came into our house. He walked around the house and he lay down in the bedroom. He knew that was where we slept. And I remember saying to my partner at the time, who was very adamant that the dog should be sleeping in the kitchen, well, you know, maybe just for his first night, we'll let him sleep in here. And he never moved. He just progressed onto the bed. That was all that happened. That was the only move he made was onto the bed.
Well, I used to make fun in a loving way of people who had a very large dog, like, you know, the 90-pound golden retriever who would sleep in the couple's bed. And I would say, well, is this a deterrent to sex? I mean, how do you have human intimacy? Because the dog would always be between them. And I cuddle and snuggle with my husband pretty much from the beginning to the end of the night. I mean, we're social sleepers. We're like a pile of puppies, the two of us. What about the dog being between the two people? Is that just part of how it's going to evolve in that triumvirate of people and dog?
Well, that's very interesting, because I remember when I was running puppy classes in London, and you'd mention having the puppy in the bed. And I noticed that the women were often quite sort of positive about the idea, and the men often looked very, very hesitant. And I'm pretty sure it was because they thought they wouldn't be able to have sex in front of the dog.
Yes. Or even have room
but
for
of course,
sex.
Yes, but of course dogs don't mind that sort of thing.
No, and you also can ask them. You can ask them to leave. I mean, or just get down. They don't have to stay there immovably. The other thing is these little breed dogs. My sister has Brussels Griffins, and just someone the other day, a nurse at the eye doctor, was talking about her Chiweenie. And I know in England, I have a goddaughter who has a Chiweenie, a Chihuahua, and a weenie, whatever a weenie is, a dachshund or something, cross.
Okay.
Cute little, funny little things that look like creatures from another planet. And this little dog sleeps down by her feet under the covers. And in the morning, wriggles up and greets her from beneath the covers. And my sister sleeps at the bottom, underneath. How do they not suffocate? They are happy as clams. It's their choice.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the big thing. It's the choice thing. And if they're too warm, of course, they can get off and move. Or as you say, if you want them to get off for a little while, if you're too hot,
yes,
you know, they can get down. But I think especially when they're little puppies, there's a time for everything. And a lot of dogs will have they'll want slightly more independent sleep when they're older. But I think all mammals co-sleep with their young. They all do it. And I was thinking about this in terms of the children co-sleeping.
Yes.
With babies. If you went to the zoo and you saw that they had separated the baby elephant from the mammy elephant for sleep, you'd think it was really cruel.
Yes.
And yes, that's what we do with our children and our puppies.
We put them in a completely other room with the door shut and maybe a baby monitor. And then there's the debate, which I guess it's still ongoing. Should we just let our little human child cry itself to sleep till it's so exhausted it has no more strength to cry? Where did that idea come from?
Yeah, I think it was in the Victorian times, wasn't it? I think that's when it evolved. Some mad psychologist thought that was the best thing. But if you look around the animal world, or if you even look around at sort of the populations today that are living as sort of hunter-gatherers would have, they all sleep with their young. Or their children. We don't call them young when they're humans.
I think it's cute. Young humans, why not?
Yes. It's very much the natural way. And I think like that, if you look at another context where it happens, like that zoo example, it's horrifying. And yet with puppies that we've just taken home, that we've just taken away from their mums, who've always slept with their mums, and we're that replacement family.
Yes.
And what they need from us, I remember actually, I think it's in Lindsay's big book on his handbook of canine behavior. He says that dogs have a developmental need for sustained physical contact.
Oh, interesting. They know that about chimpanzees. They know that about primates, that failure to thrive was proven by taking little young chimpanzees and putting them on a terry cloth mannequin to mimic a mother. But it didn't fool them at all. And those babies failed to thrive. Some of them died. Heartbreak, wouldn't eat. And yet here we are saying, well, that puppy just better learn to stand on his own four paws. What, he's going to get too attached. He's going to get too attached to us. It's, wow. So I just think that your book, How to Raise a Puppy, A Dog-Centric Approach, is so important. We can all learn new tricks, even we old dogs. And even our old dogs can learn new tricks. And they can share our time in the bed and share that closeness and that warmth. And if anyone needs to pee, the older ones can get up and maybe go out a dog door or something. And if the baby puppy needs to pee, they let you know. And that helps you to wake up and go take them out. Because in the early months, they need to get out.
They do. And most people will say that if they have their puppy on their bed from day one, that there are no accidents.
Yes.
The times when puppies tend to have accidents on the bed is when they've never been on the bed, and then they're 5 months old and they get up on the bed and they're so excited that they leave.
Right.
But if they're there from day one with you and they know the sleeping area, they're very, very unlikely to wee in it. Now, that's not to say not to take precautions. Put down your waterproof sheets. Be prepared. But it's actually very unlikely that they will wee in your bed.
At worst, they'll get up and move around and circle around, and you'll wake up and you'll say, "Hang on, Buster, let me throw my jacket on and I'll take you outside." You carry
take
them
you
out.
Outside.
Well, I think
and
it's lovely.
And you say it really helps with the toilet training.
Exactly. It's a lovely book and lovely attitudes, and I hope everyone has a chance to read it and give your dog a chance to share your pillow. Thank you so much, Steph Russo, with your lovely book, How to Raise a Puppy, A Dog-Centric Approach.